Today, I'm continuing with the third part of our Valued Living series, looking at the virtues that make us more like Jesus. In the first week, you will remember that we spoke about biblical optimism. And then last week, we looked at the whole idea of what it is to be patient. Today, I want to talk about what I believe is truly the most important and one of the most forgotten virtues in our culture today, and that is the virtue of faithfulness. We look around and we see that even in physical terms, the divorce rates in marriages because of infidelity are skyrocketing. And it seems that faithfulness, this idea of being able to stick with one thing and commit to this one thing, possibly for a lifetime, just seems totally alien. We live in a culture where there is so many options and choices that if we don't like what we have, then we just jump ship and find something new. Wherever you're watching from this morning, why don't you just say faithfulness right now? Say it out loud, faithfulness. Today, for our purposes, as we think about faithfulness, we're not thinking about faithfulness to a cause, but we are thinking about faithfulness to a person, the person of the Lord Jesus Christ. But we can also think about faithfulness to each other, to our husband, our wives, our spouses, our children. We can think about faithfulness in terms of faithfulness toward others, because, friends, the church has always been about people. And so that's what we're going to think about as we delve and dive into the message today. If you have your Bibles, either your physical or electronic Bible, let's open up together, or let's go to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, and we're going to look at verses 30 through to verse 35. Just find that, put a marker in it, and we're going to come back to that a little later. I began the message by saying that faithfulness is one of the most important, yet probably one of the most forgotten virtues in our culture today. I wonder how many of you might agree with that statement. Is faithfulness truly one of the most forgotten virtues in today's culture? Having answered that question to yourself, let me ask you another question. How many of you would say, to the greater part, that you can consider yourself to be faithful, or, if you want to think of it another way, or loyal? Herein then lays the challenge of today's message, because there is a tension. We all say that disloyalty is a significant problem. We all say that faithfulness is one of those things that has been set aside in our society today. Yet, we all consider that we as individuals are basically faithful people. If you are making notes, write this down today, that disloyalty or unfaithfulness is very difficult to see in a mirror. Disloyalty or unfaithfulness is very difficult to see in a mirror. We, you see, like to say that we are loyal. But if ever we find ourselves being disloyal, it's because someone pushed us to our limits. It's because someone acted wrongly toward us. It's because someone is not going in the direction that we think, or I think, that they should be going in. It's because someone has a different worldview to our own. And so it goes on. We can always rationalize our reasons for our own unfaithfulness, but we see it and identify it so readily in others. You see, disloyalty or unfaithfulness is not easily seen in a mirror. I could probably tell you all day long that I am faithful, but the reality is that I'm often faithful to myself rather than to others. And you may find that shocking, but if again we examine ourselves I think it's probably true to say that that is how most of us are. If we look in the New Testament, there is one person who would have claimed loyalty to Jesus above all and everyone else, and his name is Peter. Over and over again, he said, "Jesus, I've got your back. I'm your man. If all these other losers give up, I'm still staying with you. I'm sticking with you, even to death. I am your go-to man." So let's pick up the account in Matthew's Gospel in chapter 26, and we're going to read from verse 30. "And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I tell you, this very night, before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same." Note that right at the end, all the disciples said the same. And so when I say that I consider myself only loyal or not very loyal to others, but quite loyal to myself, I think we can all identify with that to a greater or lesser extent. You see, Peter said that even if all these people fall away, he says, "I never will." And I wonder how many times we've said that in situations. Doesn't matter what anyone else does. You can rely on me. I'm not going to give up. I won't do that. I'll be completely loyal. I'm going to stay faithful. I'll never disown you. I promise. How many have said that? And again, if you know the rest of the story, the account of Peter, you'll know that later on, three different people approached him. And Peter, Peter's response is, I was never with him. Who is this Jesus? I don't even know what you're talking about. In Matthew 26, later on in that same chapter, in verse 75, we read something quite poignant, and it says this: "And Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." He went out and wept bitterly. And that's important. And we'll see that later, that I believe the fact that he went out and wept bitterly is the starting point of Peter's restoration and healing again back to Jesus. So here are two things that I want us to take away today when we think about this idea of faithfulness or loyalty. And the first one is this, is that true faithfulness is not proclaimed, it is proven. True faithfulness is not proclaimed, it is proven. You remember I asked you earlier, are you a loyal person? And almost every one of you would have said, "Of course I'm loyal." Absolutely. You know, we would all say that disloyalty or unfaithfulness is a potential problem for our culture. Proverbs 20 verse 6 says this: "Many a man proclaims his own steadfast love, but a faithful man who can find?" In other words, it says we can declare how faithful and how loyal we are, but actually the reality is that true faithfulness is far and few between amongst us. You see, as students of Jesus, we have to learn to not just talk the talk, but we have to walk the walk. One of the greatest examples in sporting history of perhaps this idea of faithfulness and loyalty is told in the story of Jackie Robinson and Pee Wee Reese in the film called 42, starring Chadwick Boseman and Harrison Ford. In 1947, both of them played for the Brooklyn Dodgers. They were both very good friends. But what makes this story especially meaningful and poignant is that Jackie Robinson was the first Black or African-American baseball player to make make or play in the Major League Baseball. He broke the barriers of ethnicity playing in the Major League. You see, all his teammates turned against him. All the fans were shouting racist abuse at him. They would throw things at him when he was on the pitch. I guess in today's context, if we had social media, it would be trolling on social media. And the account is this, that when Brooklyn were playing in Cincinnati, Jackie Robinson was covering the second base and his friend Pee Wee Reese was playing backstop. The crowd started shouting abuse at Jackie Robinson. They started booing and shouting racist things to Jackie Robinson. Pee Wee Reese removed his glove and threw it to the ground. He walked over to the second base and did a simple act. He put his arm around his friend, Jackie Robinson. The crowd went completely silent. Jackie Robinson later says that that one simple act did more to save his career, but it probably saved him in far more ways than we would know. In fact, it was such a special moment in history, not just in sporting history, but in history, that they erected a statue of Jackie Robinson to symbolize the loyalty between those two very special friends. You see, loyalty is proven, it is not proclaimed. There are plenty of stories we can read in the scripture about loyalty and faithfulness between friends. We can immediately think of the relationship between David and Jonathan. But I want to take us to perhaps a lesser known account in the Old Testament about a story of faithfulness and loyalty. We all know about King David, and King David had his third son was Absalom, and Absalom had committed an horrific crime and later murdered a man, and subsequently then he ran away in fear of his life. 3 years later, Absalom returned to the city with a large army with the intention of effecting a political coup and taking his father David's throne. David in turn left the city and fled in fear of his life. All the time Absalom had been exiled, David remained faithful to his son, and yet his son Absalom returned to betray his father and to be disloyal to his father. And so now King David is on the run, fearful of his life. And into the mix comes a man called Ittai, a Gittite. He was basically a mercenary, the Bible tells us, in charge, in command of 600 men. And Ittai goes to King David and tells King David that he is willing to fight for King David. Ittai had no political investment, and yet he said, I have 600 men and I'm willing to give them to you and to fight for you. We read this account in 2 Samuel 15, 19, verses 19 to 20, where it says, then the king said to Ittai the Gittite, why do you also go with us? Go back and stay with the king, for you are a foreigner and also an exile from your home. You came only yesterday, and shall I today make you wander about with us, since I go I do not know where? Go back and take your brothers with you, and may the Lord show steadfast love and faithfulness to you. But Ittai answered the king, as the Lord lives and as the Lord the king lives, wherever my lord the king shall be, whether for death or for life, there also will your servant be. Ittai did not only proclaim his loyalty, but he showed his loyalty and his faithfulness by offering his 600 men and fighting faithfully for David. The result was that David later elevated him and raised him up in military status to command about a third of David's army. Because Ittai was willing to say, no matter what it costs me, no matter what anyone else thinks, even if it costs me my life, I will remain faithful. I will not let you down. You see, faithfulness has to be proven, not proclaimed. The second and last thing that I want us to take away today is that all unfaithfulness is born out of a divided heart. All unfaithfulness is born out of a divided heart. And as we think about faithfulness, we need to think about it from God's perspective. You see, God created us to show us, to demonstrate his love for us, and to have an intimate and an ongoing relationship with him. God was so loyal to us that the Bible tells us that even while we were still sinners, even whilst we were God's enemies, had no desire to know him, God, in his faithfulness, sent his only son, Jesus, to die for our sins so that we don't have to. Even in our faithlessness, even in our disloyalty, God remains faithful. Hear that this morning. God remains faithful to us even when we are unfaithful to him. But here is what God asks of us in return. He asks for the whole of our hearts, not part of our hearts. He asks for the whole of our hearts. In Matthew 22, we can read an account of a man who was trying to shortcut his way into the kingdom of heaven, into the kingdom of God. And so he asks Jesus a question. He says, which out of all the law is the greatest of them? Which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus, we read in Matthew 22, 37, replies and says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind. I can't speak for any of you watching this message today, but I can speak for myself. And tragically, I can say that God does not have all of my heart. That may be a shock to some of you, but I'm being honest and I'm being real that God does not have all of my heart, because I know that there are at times there are things that I allow in this world to distract me and take me away from where God would have me go and the things that God would have me do. You see, I have to acknowledge that I have at times a divided heart. But the reality is that many of you too, if you're being honest, also have the same thing. You might say that you might think that you are totally loyal, but if you're honest with yourself, you too have the same issue that I do, that of a divided heart. You see, here's what the Apostle James says. And I believe that some of you today, this message is speaking to you and it will speak into your heart, and God by his Holy Spirit will touch you and he wants to do something in you today. You're going to have a powerful encounter with the Spirit of the living God because he wants to change us. He doesn't want to leave us as we are. And the Apostle James in his letter, says this, and it's for our benefit, because again, many of you sitting or watching this message will probably just shake it off and say, that doesn't apply to me. That's not me. I'm loyal. I'm faithful. I'm not one of these people with a divided heart. I'm not distracted and I'm totally living for God. And so some of you will just shake it off. But James in his letter writes this because he knows that it's a problem or an issue for most of us. He says this in James 4 verses 8 to 9. Draw near to God and he will draw near to you. Cleanse your hands, you sinners, and purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be wretched and mourn and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to gloom. Imagine the power of that, drawing near to God, and God says he in turn will draw near to us. But James says quite a strange thing. He says, wash your hands, your sinners, purify your hearts, because your loyalty is divided between the world and between God. He goes on to say more than that. He says, let there be tears. He says, stop laughing and start crying. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter, gloom instead of joy. What is James saying? He's not saying that we live our lives in total misery, but what he is saying is that if we are truly repentant, then repentance stirs in us a sadness at the loss of something in our lives. You see, I am incapable of myself being wholeheartedly sold out and committed to God. And I'm not saying that because, I want you to feel bad. All of us, none of us need to be told how bad we are. We all know how bad we are. What people want to know is good news. What I am saying is that when we get close to God and we see his goodness and his faithfulness, it in turn makes us aware of how bad we are and our unfaithfulness. And as that is revealed by the power and the presence of the Holy Spirit in us, that should cause us to fall on our knees and to weep at the loss of our innocence, at the loss of our commitment. And that's what James is trying to tell us, that if the Holy Spirit, if he reveals those things or that lack in our lives, and it does nothing for us, and it doesn't cause us to feel in any way a sense of loss, if it doesn't lead us to repentance, then James is saying there is something wrong in our lives. And that's what I'm saying as well. If we don't care, if we're indifferent to the fact that our hearts are divided and we're not totally sold out to God, there is something wrong. Because knowing and understanding that we are at times faithless, unfaithful, divided loyalties, that should cause us to come to tears and to a deep repentance for the God who is always and has been faithful to us, even when we are unfaithful to him. In finishing this message today, the good news is that we don't have to stay where we are. With the help and the power of the Holy Spirit, because of the life, the death, and the resurrection of Jesus, we do not have to maintain or keep a divided heart. Our hearts, friends, and this is the good news, our hearts can be totally sold out to Jesus and to him alone. You see, even when we mess up, the good news is that God is still faithful and he is waiting and ready to welcome us back when we seek him with all our hearts. We may not be there yet, but the good news is that though we are grieving, and through repentance, we can draw a little closer toward knowing God. We can deepen our relationship with Jesus. And that is always good news. Friends, today, true faithfulness is not proclaimed, it's proven. And so how are we going to declare, how are we going to prove our faithfulness? By the things we say, by the way we live our lives. Friends, all unfaithfulness is born out of a divided heart, but we don't have to stay there, because God, through Christ Jesus, made it possible that we can have a life sold out and lived totally in obedience to the Lord Jesus Christ. And so I hope that today this message has challenged you. I hope that having heard the voice of the Holy Spirit speaking into your spirit, that rather than seeking to just proclaim and to say, that actually it causes a change in our lifestyle that will declare our faithfulness toward the living God. God bless you and have a great morning.